Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We recently concluded the study of the book of Jonah. And if you'll remember, Jonah went and preached to a place called Nineveh. There's another book in the Old Testament that deals with Nineveh. And that's the passage we're going to look at this morning. Look in the Old Testament book of Nahum, the prophet Nahum. More than 100 years after Jonah was disappointed that God didn't destroy the Ninevites, Nahum was given a prophecy, and it was sent to Nineveh, and they did not repent. This time, God's message was not just a warning. This time, they had used up their opportunities. Because after they repented in Jonah's day, and God relented and did not send wrath upon them, the Ninevites decided, well, I guess we're okay. And instead of following the Lord and obeying Him, they became as wicked as ever, and many historians argue more wicked than ever. Things actually got worse. The culture became more perverse. They became more violent, and they more aggressively were used to bring punishment against God's people, who, by the way, were not exactly doing the right thing themselves. But God sends a message through Nahum more than 100 years after Jonah, and this is what he says. An oracle concerning Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum the Elkoshite. The Lord is a jealous and avenging God. The Lord takes vengeance and is filled with wrath. The Lord takes vengeance on his foes and maintains his wrath against his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power. The Lord will not leave the guilty unpunished. His way is in the whirlwind and the storm, and clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebukes the sea, and it dries up. He makes all the rivers run dry. Bashan and Carmel wither, and the blossoms of Lebanon fade. The mountains quake before him, and the hills melt away. The earth trembles at his presence, the world and all who live in it. Who can withstand his indignation? Who can endure his fierce anger? His wrath is poured out like fire. The rocks are shattered before him. The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him. But with an overwhelming flood, he will make an end of Nineveh. He will pursue his foes into darkness. Whatever they plot against the Lord, he will bring to an end. Trouble will not come a second time. They will be entangled among thorns and drunk from their wine. They will be consumed like dry stubble. From you, O Nineveh, has one come forth who plots evil against the Lord and counsels wickedness. This is what the Lord says. Although they have allies and are numerous, They will be cut off and pass away. Although I have afflicted you, O Judah, I will afflict you no more. Now I will break their yoke from your neck and tear your shackles away. The Lord has given a command concerning you, Nineveh. You will have no descendants to bear your name. I will destroy the carved images and cast idols that are in the temples of your gods. I will prepare your grave, for you are vile. Look, there on the mountains, the feet of one who brings good news, who proclaims peace. Celebrate your festivals, O Judah, and fulfill your vows. No more will the wicked invade you. They will be completely destroyed. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. I want you to see that the message that God sends through Nahum is a message of judgment and wrath against Nineveh, but it is a message of comfort and encouragement to God's people. There are a lot of people today who believe that in order for us to be comfortable with God, we've got to sort of completely cut off what Scripture says about God's wrath. Well, I would suggest to you that the goal of preaching is not to make us comfortable with God. It's to tell us the truth about God as he has revealed himself in his word. Say, but Jesus came to save sinners. Yes, absolutely. Otherwise, we would all be destroyed. But the fact of the matter is, if you want to see the love of God displayed, you look at the cross of Jesus Christ. If you want to see the wrath of God displayed, you look at the cross of Jesus Christ. Because when Jesus bore our sin, God's beloved Son died a torturous death. That is a view of God that is repellent to many people in the church today. The idea that God would demand that his wrath be poured out in order for sin to be punished, that just can't be. Because we've grown up in a culture where nobody is supposed to be held accountable. Something horrible in government happens, and politicians say, yes, and I take full responsibility. And they keep their job, and they keep their pension, and they just go right on and run for higher office. That's not taking full responsibility. They accept no responsibility except verbally. In our homes, children are rebuked but not punished. And in some homes, not even rebuked. What's going on? It's refusing to recognize there's such a thing as good and evil. And the only thing that's considered evil is having an intolerant attitude. God's word comes along and reminds us that regardless of how people want to view the situation, God is the ultimate judge and everybody's going to have to stand before him. In the book of Revelation, we read that when God's wrath is being poured out on the earth, people will curse God and try and hide from his wrath, refusing still at that point to repent. Folks, let me tell you something. God's word reminds us that God's wrath is real. In John 3:36, it says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, but God's wrath remains on him. God's wrath remains on him. I am so grateful that God in his mercy drew me to salvation when I was a young child. I was a preschooler. But let me tell you something. Nobody else was in the room with me except the Lord. And I was startled awake with the realization I had never acted on what I knew. I had never asked God to save me. And what I said that night, alone in that room, As I said, if I had died tonight, I would have gone to hell. Now, how can you say that? You were just a little preschooler. Yes, I was a little preschooler who was a sinner. I was a little preschooler who needed a Savior. I was a little preschooler who had heard the gospel. And I was a little preschooler who needed to receive Jesus Christ. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But if you hear the gospel and you hear the gospel and you hear the gospel and you hear the gospel, and it's like, not now, I'd still like to be my own boss. Not now, I'm not ready to turn my life over to Christ. Not now, I think I want to do a few other things first. Then let me tell you, you are still under the wrath of God. That's what God says in His Word. You're still under His wrath. I love this contrast in verse 7 and following. Verses 7 and 8 of Nahum chapter 1. The Lord is good. Amen? The Lord is good. A refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in Him. That's beautiful. That's comforting. That's encouraging. That could be a bumper sticker or a wall plaque. The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in Him. But that's not the end of the sentence. But with an overwhelming flood, He will make an end of Nineveh. He will pursue His foes into darkness. That's the rest of the sentence. You can't have one without the other. If God doesn't punish sin, He's not good. If God doesn't pour out His wrath, then there is no justice. You read the book of Revelation, and you see that God's wrath is poured out, even as God's people are saved. But I said earlier, if you want to see the love of God and the wrath of God, you look at the cross of Jesus Christ. Because that's where God's wrath was poured out, on the sinless Lamb of God. He took the punishment that we deserve so that we could be saved. The reason Jesus died was not as some dramatic gesture. It was in order to pay for the sins of all who would trust in Him. No one is turned away because Jesus didn't suffer enough. But no one will be saved who rejects what Jesus has done. God makes it very clear in His Word. No one, Jesus said, comes to the Father except through Me. There's no other way. It's only through what Jesus did.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children. 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I wonder if you'd take a moment to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things. First of all, please visit our website, PastorWood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone, to the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, whatever they plot against the Lord, verse 9, He'll bring to an end. Trouble will not come a second time. Verse 12, this is what the Lord says. Although they have allies and are numerous, they will be cut off and pass away. When you look at what's going on in the world, do you ever feel like the tide is going in the wrong direction? Do you ever feel like more and more people are abandoning truth and embracing lies? Do you ever feel like more and more people are engaged in worse and worse wickedness? Well, don't be surprised. Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many travel thereon. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and very few find it. So when it looks like the majority is going in the wrong direction, don't be surprised. It's exactly the way Jesus said it's always been. Those who would follow Jesus Christ and do what God commands will always be in the minority until Jesus comes again. But let me tell you, when Jesus comes again, it's not going to be up for a vote. It's not going to be a question of, what do you all want? Are you willing to accept me? The question at that point will be, is your name written in the book of life? Because if you have not been saved, it will be too late. There will be no second chance at that point. Although I have afflicted you, O Judah, I will afflict you no more. Now I will break their yoke away from your neck and tear your shackles away. Verse 15. Look, there on the mountains, the feet of one who brings good news, who proclaims peace. Celebrate your festivals, O Judah, and fulfill your vows. No more will the wicked invade you. They will be completely destroyed. Should we be celebrating the destruction of the wicked? Well, it depends on what your attitude is, and it depends on which portion of Scripture you're reading. Well, surely this is the only place where it's treated as good news for us to celebrate the destruction of God's enemies. No, it's not. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. See what you see there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. That's the context. In all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. Verse 5. The fact that you are persevering, the fact that you continue in the faith, verse 5, all this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you, because you believed our testimony to you. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may count you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. This says you should rejoice because you're going to be delivered and God's wrath is going to punish his enemies. So is our great hope their punishment? No, our great hope is our deliverance. But the means of our deliverance will involve their destruction. If there's no hell, there's no gospel. There are many people today who call themselves evangelicals who just decided to take hell off the table. It's just, we don't think it's real, and if it is, we still don't want to talk about it. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus died on the cross so that we would be spared the wrath of God. What is America's favorite verse? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Why? So that whoever believes in him would not perish. What's that talking about? It's talking about the wrath of God, which is what you and I are headed for apart from Jesus Christ. But please understand this. God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but so that through him the world might be saved. Jonah didn't like the fact that God was so compassionate because Jonah had seen what the Ninevites did and he wanted to see them punished. He would not live to see them punished. But over 100 years later, God would say, I've had enough of Nineveh. I've given them opportunity after opportunity. I've given them generation after generation. And now, time is up. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 16, God is speaking of what's going to happen to Abraham's descendants. And he says, in the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here. For the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. God knew what was coming, knew the Amorites were not going to repent, knew that their sin was going to get worse, and he had already set how much time they had. Let me tell you something about our planet. God has already decreed when it's going to come to an end. I am grateful for people who want to be good stewards of the environment. I think that's important, but not in order to save the planet. In order to be good stewards of something that belongs to God, we should be good stewards of the environment, but the earth is not our mother. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the sea and all that dwell therein. This place belongs to our Father, and therefore we want to see it well managed, not abused, not despoiled, but cultivated, because that was God's command. But let me tell you something. I'm looking for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. That is the promise of my Father. He has said that one day Jesus is going to come again and everything is going to be made new. Read 2 Peter chapter 3 and you find out that this place is going to be destroyed with fire. It's all going to burn. Talk about global warming. Okay? We're talking an incinerator. We're talking a furnace. We're talking about a purifying fire. The elements will melt with intense heat. The sky will be rolled back like a scroll. The insides will be laid bare. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3, we look for and hasten that day. Why in the world? Because there's something better coming. There's something far more wonderful than anything we've experienced here. Something glorious, because sin will be destroyed. All the impurities are going to be burned away, and there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Jesus is not coming back to see if he can convince everybody. Jesus is coming back, and every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And people who say not now won't be able to say that then. People who say, yes, I know it's true, but just not ready to surrender, they won't be able to say that then. It'll be too late. So the question is, what about you? Don't let it just be theoretical. God's wrath is coming for his enemies. Don't be in that number. God offers you not just terms of peace. He offers you a place at his table. He offers you adoption into his family, where you can know him as your father and know his love for you, which has no end. Look, there on the mountains, the feet of one who brings good news, who proclaims peace. Celebrate your festivals, O Judah, and fulfill your vows. No more will the wicked invade you. They will be completely destroyed. That's what we look forward to. Not focused on the destruction of God's enemies, but focused on the fact that there will be true peace, righteous peace, the peace of God as a result of peace with God. For our God, as we read in Hebrews, our God is a consuming fire. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that your word is true and that what was prophesied came to pass. Nineveh was destroyed. Sennacherib was destroyed, even as you had warned. And we know that as you look at the earth today, you have already decreed the end. We don't know the timing, but we do know that every day we are one day closer to when Jesus will come again. We know that wrath is coming on the earth because your word has warned. But Lord, we pray that we might be found faithful, not only trusting in you, but trusting and obeying and acting as your ambassadors, pleading with people, be reconciled to God. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.